edition of the Hagman Report in our third and final hour. Pastor Billy Crone will be joining us here in just a few moments. I want to bring you a quick word from one of our supporters. And Ready Made Resources is the place to go for all your preparedness items and needs that you might have, from water filters to night vision goggles that Mr. Griswold has come on to talk about, as well as food, solar energy, all kinds of on the go.
I didn't tell you this.
Preparedness items.
My neighbor ordered the night vision, the Hagman night vision. If you go to Ready Made Resources, and he told me how he did this. He went to Ready Made Resources, went to, what's that section on the top there? Outdoor and Tactical. Okay, he opened that up. Anyway, he got the kit, and he was out, seriously, man. I think he was in my backyard, in my house, this weekend. I'm pretty sure that was him.
You have to tell him to bring him over so he can check him out.
He did, seriously, on Sunday he did. And, you talk about top quality stuff. And he also ordered some long-term storable food. He also ordered some other items, which I will not disclose. But so anyway, it was kind of fun because seriously, he was snooping around out there, and he allowed me to play with his toys. And I gotta tell you, man, it's pretty impressive. You don't want to be looking. You don't want to be wearing that stuff in the daylight, but at night, it's incredible what you can see. You talk about a force multiplier. I thought that was fun.
Absolutely. ReadyMadeResources.com is the website. ReadyMadeResources.com, and then from there, you can, if you have any questions, you can email them and check out their website. Their website has a very extensive listing of all the products that they do sell.
And you know, I had my picture taken with Bob Griswold from Branson. He was in Branson, and hopefully many of you in Branson got to meet Bob Griswold. He's a heck of a guy, and I could still take him. No, I'm kidding. He's a big dude, man. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, Pastor Billy Crone will be with us in just a few moments. Again, on the From a Drudge, folks, if you go there and you want to see pictures of how devastating some of these wildfires are, there are a number of articles up in the top left that show the extent of the damage and give you the information on the ongoing threat that these fires pose. As even Greg said, that there were many fires that started yesterday approximately around the same times, and people are starting to ask the question, well, why? And on Drudge, it's also being reported that at least 10 are dead from the wildfires that burn in California wine country as well. So keep the folks in California in your prayers, as this looks like it's far from over. But we have with us Pastor Billy Crone. Pastor, it's been a while since we've had you on, but it's great to have you back on, and great to talk to you tonight.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys again. Thanks for having me on, and hopefully the video's working. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks good. It is. Okay, so that color behind you.
Yeah.
That's a great color. I think I'm going to use that in my office. I've got a different... but no, you look good. And of course, thanks for joining us via video, by the way.
Hey, you gotcha. Well, that's popping red just for Vegas.
There you go. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. Wow. Yeah, indeed. What do you think about that, Pastor? What the heck?
Yeah, you're from Vegas.
Yes.
Oh, well, actually, that was my corny humor. I wasn't meaning that in some derogatory
comment. It wasn't accepted in that fashion. When you told me that, because I remember your church being in Vegas and you're being in, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Yeah. No, I tell you what, obviously, yeah, we're right here where that event took place, and sad all the way around. I mean, it's just another exposure of what the Bible's been saying for a long time. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked, and unless people turn to Jesus Christ, this isn't going to get any better. And what's sad is, you know, once again, with these events, even here in Las Vegas, you see that the cry goes out for gun control. And I'm not a member of the NRA or anything of that nature, not that I'm against it or anything. And I'm not here to defend them. But once again, they think that the panacea to fix these kind of problems is not Jesus Christ, it's gun control. You know, it's the old axiom, blaming guns for the Las Vegas shooting is like blaming spoons for somebody being overweight. And it wasn't the spoon's fault, right? It's just an instrument. It's what people do with it. And until people get to the real issue, that it's the heart of man, and only Jesus Christ can fix the heart of man by being born again, nothing is going to change.
Boy, you're right on that, because at its core, this what we saw is pure evil. Regardless of motive, we know the means. Of course, the opportunity was there. Pure evil. And you're right, this is going to just get worse and worse and worse. And we're seeing this pervasive evil sweep across not just the country, but the entire world. And you're right, the only answer is, the only fix is a spiritual / biblical fix. Maybe I said that improperly. You're the pastor. I'm going to leave that to you.
No, you guys are right. And again, it's just it's sad that our country continues to not only turn away from God, and frankly kick God out of every aspect of our society, whether it be our schools, our government, and dare I say, frankly, many churches, most churches today, they're high into the apostasy. They're not even preaching out of the Bible anymore, and things of that nature. You got the American church. My experience has been, that the reason why the American church is so powerless today, so ineffective today, is because, frankly, the American church is flooded with so many non-Christians. Oh, they go to a church service, but going to a church service doesn't save you any more than sitting in a hen house makes you a chicken. You got to be born again. And it's getting worse. I've shared before in previous interviews, some of my experience, it's not just the people sitting in the pews that are not saved. I'm talking people teaching Sunday school classes. I'm talking people behind the pulpit. They admit that they're not even saved, and it's flooded the church. So no wonder the church is ineffective. The church, a lot of it, is being run by people who still need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and so that doesn't help anything. So we have gutted our society, our hearts, our homes, our marriages, our churches, our government, our school system of Jesus Christ. And what did God say? You reap what you sow, right? You don't want me? Okay. I'll give you over, Romans chapter 1. I'll give you over to a depraved mind. It's going to get so bad that you're not just going to be doing wickedness. You're going to start doing things that ought not to be done. And we're certainly seeing that today. Now, as a born-again Christian, on the one hand, we certainly don't condone this kind of thing that's been going on. But on the one hand, it shouldn't shock us, because the Bible clearly tells us that these kind of things are going to be on the rise in the last days. You know, Paul talks about Timothy. He says, you know, in the last days, what's going to happen? It's going to get extremely wicked, where people can become lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and they're going to become brutal and all kinds of. In fact, the word there in the Greek there for brutal, anomeros, it literally means just savagery, and not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, and all that nature. Every single one of, if you look at that passage there that Paul's talking to Timothy 2,000 years ago, every single one of those negative, wicked characteristics that he said is going to appear on the scene in the last days, every single one of them is not just in our society, it's going rampant in our society. So on the one hand, as a Christian, we shouldn't be shocked, okay? On the other hand, if you will, we should kind of get excited, because this is a sign that we're living the last days, that it's getting close to the Lord's return, and which then should lead to the secondary excitement when Jesus comes back. As you guys know, the great news is he's going to take us to Walmart. No, he's not taking us to Walmart. I paused on purpose there. Are you kidding me? He's taking us to heaven, right? I mean it's going to be awesome. And I think that's one of the missing elements that we, the church, aren't getting, even in this atrocity with the Las Vegas shooting. And that is, we need to be out there more than ever letting people know, yes, this is bad. Yes, this is wrong. But let me tell you why. It's because we've turned from God, right? And number two, let me tell you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. The 7-year tribulation is coming, right? You're not going to stop that, okay? But here's the good news. You can be saved through Jesus Christ. And he'll take you to a place beyond your wildest dreams. You don't have to live with this baloney forever and ever. And you certainly don't have to go to hell. And that's a whole other topic, right? But as Christians, we're the walking advertisement, right? You know, the old axiom, we're the only Bible that some other people will see, right? Mm-hmm. But what are they seeing in us as Christians? Are we just as wigged out? Are we just as depressed? Are we just as fearful? I mean, or by our even countenance, are we showing the world that, listen, there's something better to live for? There's a whole nother world out there that you don't want to miss. What's the scripture say? Keep your mind on things above, not on this earth. This earth will drag you down. So we let the world know that, yes, this is wicked, this is wrong. And here's why, because we continue to turn away from God. But here's the ultimate good news. If you would give your life to Jesus Christ, call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, the Bible says you will be saved, and you are headed to a place beyond your wildest dreams. And guess what? Show that with your countenance. The problem is, I think much of the church is not only in apostasy, I think much of the church is asleep at the wheel. And I think much of the church is just as worldly as the rest of the world. And so there's no enticement, right? There's no like, hey, come to Jesus and it'll be great. Well, what's so great about it? You're just as wigged out, stressed out, living like a rat just like me. Where's the difference? And I want to share with you one thing, and this is what I think at this time that we, the church, need to focus on. See, we're not the losers in this equation, but we're walking around like we've lost just like everybody else. And we need to demonstrate that there's joy in Christ, that we have the best future. Nobody has a brighter future than the church, and the world needs to see that in our face. But let me share with you. This is from Keith Green, if you're familiar with him. Listen to this. This is convicting. He said this: when I travel to give concerts, I get a view of the modern-day American Christian church that most people never see. I played in every denominational church I could think of, and as a result, I've discovered what the world hates most about Christianity. It's Christians. And it would be okay if they hated us for the right reasons, for our love and our joy and our good deeds, but the problem is they hate us for our hypocrisy. We don't like to admit that the world is tired of hearing us say, praise the Lord. They're tired of seeing the bumper stickers without seeing something Christ-like going on inside the car. They're tired of our t-shirt philosophy and our rings and our necklaces and our phoniness. They're hungry and thirsty for the truth. They want to see Christians being Christians, or else to them, we're just another trip. And so he says this: are you excited, Christian, about Jesus? Can other people see the joy of the Lord in your face? He said, I've noticed too few Christians radiate the presence of the Lord in their life. It's like they look like they've been baptized in vinegar. They seem to have this image of Christianity that requires them to have this grim, gray look on their face. It's like they're saying, well, praise God, it's such a burden to be a Christian. He says, what kind of a testimony is that? He said, if you're happy, and you ought to be happy if you're a redeemed child of God, then you better show it on your face. That's what the world is looking for to see in the life of the Christian. They're tired of the hypocrisy. And he says this, he said, me personally, if it weren't for religion, I would have become a Christian 2 years earlier than I did. As a result, I didn't become a Christian by going through a church service. I couldn't become a Christian because I wouldn't be caught dead in a church service. All the churches I had seen were full of hypocrites. He said, I wanted to know, listen, and this is what our world needs to know. This is what our world right now, even in the midst of this atrocity, amidst of the rising wickedness, not just this event, but everything. Read the newspaper. Wickedness abounds. But this is how we counteract it as Christians, right? He said, I wanted to know if these supposed ambassadors for Jesus could really show me Jesus by the way they looked and by the way they lived. He said, the problem is I never found one. Rest assured, there's a lot of searchers out there just like I was. They may not tell you they're looking for God, but they are. And when they look at your life, do they see him? He said, if you're a pew warmer, I'm not telling you you're doomed. I'm telling you, you're dooming others. I'm not telling you you're hellbound. I'm telling you you're sleeping while others are sinking down into a fiery eternity. He said, guys, we are in a sorry mess. The world is sick of it. God is sick of it, and it's enough to make him vomit. Wow.
Yeah.
And so it's really, to me, this is a golden opportunity that if Christians get your head out of this world, it's wicked. It's going to get worse. Nobody's condoning it. Yes, let's be informed, but let's not forget what Christ has won for us. That's the answer. And preach Christ and show it on your face. What is it in your life, in your countenance, in your word, in your attitude, as you walk through this baloney with the rest of the world? What is it that the person's going like, wow, can I have that? I mean, you live here in Vegas too, and you've seen what our city's going through, or hey, you're in my town too, and you see all this wickedness going on, and the crime, and the murder, and the atrocity, and the selfishness, and the conceitedness, and the brutal behavior of people. They don't even have natural affection towards their family. I mean, you see it too, but how do you have that joy? Where'd you get that joy from? You're not popping pills. I mean, Where'd you get it from? How come you're at peace? How come you are living on this earth just like me, but you have a different attitude? Can I have that? That's the golden opportunity that I think we're missing as the church.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about this a lot with a number of different people, but it's one thing to only believe with your mind. It's another thing to act and you know, carry on the behaviors of a Christian. And those seem to, the actions don't seem to back up the thoughts a lot of times of many people. And that's a huge problem in this country. And it is a, you know, the lukewarm nature, whatever you want to call it. But we see the decline in churches and in their ability to even discern things, to where we see many churches in America have gone so far away from the scripture and what it teaches. And this is going to continue to creep in as long as the people are asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, that we're missing a golden opportunity again with the fact that God told us in advance that this would happen. And what does that do? That gives veracity to the authority of the Bible, that the Bible is trustworthy and true. Only God can predict these things hundreds, if not centuries, of years of in advance. Okay, that's coming to pass even in our lifetime, right? And so it gives veracity that, hey, you might want to take the Bible serious. God demonstrates this came from Him. But the other thing, too, is as Christians, we should be the most well-equipped, well-informed people in current events than anybody else on the planet. And then we use that as a platform to share the gospel with the people around us. But what do you have today? You got most people today. They don't even study Bible prophecy. The pastors won't preach on prophecy. And I've said before that, listen, one-third of the Bible deals directly or indirectly with Bible prophecy. So if you're a pastor, I can say this, I are one, then what kind of a shepherd are you if you're deliberately leaving out one-third of the Bible, right? In fact, what you're actually doing is you're fulfilling what the Bible said would come in the last days. Again, Paul says to Timothy that in the church this time, not the world. He said in the church, how do you know you're in the last days? When all you get, you're going to get the church gathering around themselves, teachers who will only tickle their ears, and they'll turn aside from the truth and turn to myths. Okay? Tickle your ears is tenetho in the Greek. It means only pleasant things. Myths, muthos, means stories made up. So stir all that together. Paul says, listen, you're not only going to see a rise of wickedness with these shootings and the treachery and the conceitedness and the not lovers of God, the lovers of self, all that stuff. But you know what? Pay attention to the church. Because when you see this arise, you're in the last days. That all you ever get from the pulpit are these teachers, these so-called pastors, who only tell pleasant stories, okay, and pleasant things that they make up. That's 95% of the church today, if not more. That's a sign you're living in the last days. But as the church, we should be able to take these events, even current events, and say, hey, you're absolutely right. Did you hear what's on the news? Did you hear about that shooting? Did you hear about the wars going on over there in the Middle East? Did you hear about the rise of the earthquakes? Did you hear about the famines and the pestilence and all that kind of stuff? Hey, guess what? Those are signs that we're living in the last days. Now, let me tell you about Jesus, okay, because you need to get saved. You need to get saved right now. You don't want to miss the boat.
Pastor, concurrent with this, one thing I've noticed, and not too many people have commented on this, especially in the if there are forums and political boards that cater to the progressives, the in my view, the communists and socialists, whatever you want to call it, and a hallmark of their belief system, their ideology, is one of atheism. And to see the misrepresentation, for example, proof that there is no God, for no loving God would allow this to happen, and just the bastardization of the Bible itself by the people in power and those who have, you know, are just a degree or two away from the power, the increase in that, in concurrent with what you're talking about, to me, tells me a lot about the times in which we live. So I want to throw that in there because I'm seeing more and more, just as the church isn't doing anything, the other side, the atheists, the agnostics, are digging in even deeper, saying, see, this is proof that the Bible is bunk.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is another opportunity for us Christians to rise up and do what the Scripture says. The Bible says that we need to get equipped. We need to become disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to know His Word. Why? Disciples there in the Greek is mathetes. It means disciplined learner. We need to be a disciplined learner of the word so that we can give a defense for the hope that lies within us. And that's what I noticed when this shooting happened here in Las Vegas. Immediately, what did they say? Oh, what kind of a God would allow something like this? Why did he do this? And it's like, excuse me? God's not responsible for this, right? And this is why, what is today? Monday? Yesterday. I don't even know what day it is. Yesterday, I preached a sermon. I interrupted. I've been preaching on a study on spiritual warfare called the Satanic War on the Christian. And so I interrupted it, and I did a special message called Where Was God in the Las Vegas Shooting? And I felt led, before I dealt with the countenance thing, like we kind of opened the program with, I felt led to give a defense because the atheists are out there once again trying to slam God, say, what kind of a God? There is no God. How could there be God? Because of this evil and suffering. And just real quickly, what I went through was basically an apologetic study, giving a defense of where does evil and suffering come from, and you can't blame that on God. Now, first of all, the Bible says that evil and suffering came from not God, it came from Satan. Okay, Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15. Let me read that real quick. It says this about the fall of Satan. It says, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." But you're brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. In other words, you lost Satan. You're not going to overthrow God. Give me a break. But notice what Satan's problem was there. I, right? And that's it. Why did this guy do this? Whoever did the shooting there and all that stuff. Why did these people do this? Because somebody's I said, I want to do that. God doesn't condone this. How many times has God got to say, you shall not murder, right? How many times has God said, you shouldn't do this, right? But I decided that I wanted to do it. That's what caused the fall of Satan. Now, you want to talk about what's crazy, right? The fall of Satan was caused because Satan wanted to do what Satan wanted to do instead of what God said to do, right? The I problem. You look at the word sin, S-I-N. What's smack dab in the middle? I. At the heart of every sin, at that point, anytime anyone sins, myself included, at that moment we're saying what I want instead of what God says. Right? And his commands, by the way, are all for our good. And he only throws them out there because of this I problem that will create destruction. Okay? But that's what Satan did. That's what these people do. And this is what people need to understand. This didn't come from God. This came from Satan. Right? What Satan did, the scripture says, Genesis 3, he didn't keep it to himself. This me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity thing. He, in turn, tempted Adam and Eve, and they got infected with the I problem, if you will, the sin nature. Okay, and that's gone through all of mankind. So each one of us are born with this sin nature that wants to do our own thing and our own will. Okay, and that's why the scripture says, Paul says this, that's why the planet's so messed up. That's why there's evil and suffering. This is not the original world that God created. Romans 5 says this, "This then is what has happened. Sin made its entry into the world through one man, Adam, and through sin, death." Right? And the entail of sin and death passed on to the whole human race that no one could break free from it because no one himself was free from sin. Right? Why is the planet messed up? Why is it? Is it because there is no God? No. It's because God created originally, you read the scripture, he created a fantastic world. He created a beautiful world. In fact, he called it paradise. In fact, he even said when he was done, he said it's very good. But then as we saw, the scripture says Satan did something very bad, and he wanted to have I what he wanted to do. He wanted to become God. And he infected mankind, and because Adam and Eve fell with that route, we're all born with that, and the planet's all messed up, and we're living in the cursed creation. Now, I actually shared, this was kind of fun, because we got 42 hours of studies on creation versus evolution, and I spent 12 hours just dealing with the pre-flood society, okay, before God judged this planet the first time because of sin. And I wanted to go back and share the congregation. What was that world like? What would it have been like? What kind of a paradise did God create, okay, before sin entered this world via Satan tempting Adam and Eve? It was phenomenal. Now, let me geek out with you just real quick if you got a moment. With some science right here. Okay. Thanks to oxygen bubbles that we find trapped in amber, you know, like the Jurassic Park movie, they find bubbles and, you know, insects sometimes. Well, those would have been created at the time of the flood, right? Now, they've actually tapped into, I kid you not, science has tapped into those oxygen bubbles, And so that tells us what was the oxygen, what was the atmosphere like in the pre-flood world that God originally created paradise before sin messed it up. And what they find is there's a much greater air pressure, okay, and there's a much greater content of oxygen. Now, living in that environment, they've done some scientific studies, it actually induces giantism. And this explains why we find a lot of things that we find in the fossil records. We find giant trees. We try giant animals. We find, frankly, giant people. We find all kinds of things. Everything was giant. Everything's huge before the flood. Okay. In fact, the effects on the human body, living in that oxygen-saturated environment, would have been phenomenal. One guy, he puts it this way. Watch this. He said, just breathing in that atmosphere would have been exciting, right? And he says, because under those conditions, not only does your hemoglobin take on oxygen, but your plasma gets oxygen saturated in your blood, which means you could run for hundreds of miles, okay, without ever getting tired. And then, of course, he says that Adam and Eve, they didn't need a car. They could just run to grandma's. And then he says, well, not only they didn't have a grandma or a mother-in-law, by the way, which is why it was called paradise. Okay, but I digress. Living in that atmosphere, that way of life was absolutely phenomenal. In fact, we did some research. We found in Texas, they found a tree stump, and based on a fossilized tree stump, based on the circumference of that tree stump, that tree would have been 1,000 feet tall. Everything was huge. Everything was to the max. It was bountiful. It was incredible. And when God said paradise, he means paradise. In fact, they even find fossilized beavers 8 feet long. Now think about it. Like, you need bigger beavers if you got bigger trees. And it's just like everything all fits together, right? But guess what? God, he made it wonderful. He made it fantastic, right? It was paradise. God is a good God. He's a loving God. And when he finished, he says it's very good. But why is it messed up? Why is there evil and suffering? How has it progressed to this with the junk that we got to deal with today? It's because of Satan. The fall of Satan, and then he infected mankind, and because of that, he's cursed his creation that we have to deal with. But the good news is, one day, Jesus is going to fix it, and you want to be a part of that world.
Absolutely right. Pastor Billy Crone is our guest. And, Pastor, I don't know when the last time you were on was, not to get too far out here, but I know you had a book that you came out with, and you were doing some conferences. I believe it was the end of last year. That's probably the last time we had you on. So it's been almost a full year, and I know you teach about... I want to kind of get into this, if we can, just for a little bit. The AI tech world that we see encroaching on our world, you know, from the RFID chip to the kiosks and robots... said to be used to take the jobs of millions of jobs here in America, from fast food workers to the manufacturing sector. I want to kind of go down this road of, the beast tech that we're seeing. And there continues to be this push for a cashless society, especially in Europe. And we see these different areas of, the political world changing, from countries moving away from the EU and Europe, countries moving away from the dollar and the economic world. Do you see a convergence of events from the technological aspect to the political and economic, where you can see a combination or consolidation of these two worlds?
You know what? If I didn't know better, it sounds like you've been reading the Bible. Yes, absolutely, to answer your question. Man, we have done so many prophecy studies. In fact, we just came out with two more books recently. The Final Countdown Volume 1 and The Final Countdown Volume 2, and we're working on Volume 3. And basically, we deal with the big signs. How do you know you're living the last days? And what you said, it's all converging. One guy says the challenge today, when you take a look at geopolitical events and you're going like, man, who's what this? And this is going on, the government's over there, and the Middle East this, and the economy with that. And sometimes it's like hard to put it all together. Well, the Bible is the only book on the planet that gives you the cover to the puzzle pieces that you're trying to put together. To use the analogy, imagine somebody gave you a very intricate puzzle piece with 1,000 pieces, little bitty tiny things, but they forgot to give you the cover. Now, eventually, you could probably put it together, but how much easier would it be if they were to give you the cover of the box so you could at least see what it's supposed to look like? Well, that's what the Bible does for us. And oftentimes, we get lost and we're going like, well, these people are doing this, and this country's doing that, and the economy's doing that, and all the technology is doing this, and how's that fit and all whatever. Well, guess what? It does all fit together. It's all part of what the Bible says is the Antichrist kingdom that's going to culminate in the 7-year tribulation the final week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. And certainly you see that with the one world government, the one world economy, the mark of the beast, tying into that with the cashless society. We certainly have that technology today. But you take a look at these events, and you can pop them into the right place when you understand just God's panoramic prophetic view of how the last days are going to come about. And we certainly see the governments around the world lining up with the economies around the world, certainly with the governments around the world. You mentioned the beast technology and AI. I'm getting ready, Lord willing, of course, in about 3 weeks to be preaching in Gettysburg, and that's actually one of my topics I'm preaching on, AI and the coming apocalypse. And the AI technology is coming, it's already here. And most people don't even realize that. The militaries around the world have been working on this for a long time. They're combining it with drone technology. They're combining it also with their vehicles. And they're equipping, name any piece of military equipment, whether it be a jet fighter, a submarine, I'm not kidding you, a battleship, a boat, a tank, a jeep, a supply vehicle, you name it. They're using artificial intelligence, and they're basically remote controlling these things all over the world, not making up. In fact, they've developed the artificial intelligence technology that they can put on existing equipment that will then take it over. Because a lot of people would say, well, you mean it would cost trillions of dollars if they had to buy all new equipment to be able to remotely control all this stuff all over the world like a Skynet center? No. They can take the existing equipment, and they cannot just take it. They're already doing it. Militaries around the world, they're popping it on. Bang, it becomes an AI. Now, what's scary is they're combining that with what's called swarm technology. And what that is they can only control one piece. Like, let's say they did several boats in the ocean, right? Well, guess what? The AI on this one boat can communicate with this other AI boat here, and this one over here, this over here, and they literally communicate like a swarm of bees to surround and capture their prey. And we've done studies where we've shown this actual military demonstrations. We're not making this up. They're already doing it to existing technology. But the AI, the concern with AI is, of course, it's getting out of control. Okay, and there's been many, many warnings. In fact, if you look at the headlines, they're combining this technology with not only the vehicles, the equipment, wish I was making this up, but they're actually building and have been building Terminator robots. Now, I know that sounds like crazy. It's out there. And frankly, I wish it was make-believe, okay, but it's real. In fact, they've been working on it for a long time. DARPA has been working for at least, that I could discover, 8, 9, 10 years on what's called neuromorphic chips. And those are basically brain chips that they put into these robots that basically create a Terminator reality. And if you want to see, you could give you a little experiment. If you want to see how far they progress, go to Boston Dynamics YouTube channel, okay, and look at some of their latest robots. These things are not even tethered. They don't have a cord coming out the back with a human on a little control anymore. Okay, these things are on their own, walking around, able to do things, lift things, make their own decisions, interact with people, open, close doors, walk even in the snow without falling over. It's already here. And my general rule is this. If you see anything in the public that they release to you, we're at least 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years behind what they actually have. So if you're going to show me that you can do that, what do you really got that's already in play? But the challenge with this AI technology is it's getting out of control. Okay, because again, all the governments, major countries around the world, militaries, they're rushing into this AI technology because it's a whole new way of warfare. Okay, and those in the industry, they're actually saying it's kind of like the old West where we're at with this technology and the warfare with the AI. This is like, you know, in the old West, it was like gold was discovered in California. And it created the gold rush. They said that's where we're at right now, is everybody, every country, by and large, the major ones, they're all rushing in to see who can develop this AI, master it faster because, and I'll give you a quote, and you can check this out. This just came out the 1st of September, just a month ago, roughly, from Vladimir Putin. And if you look in the headlines, what did he say? He said, the country who creates AI will control the world. And he admits that there's some danger to this, but that it's coming, right? And basically, whoever can get it, perfect it, if you will, first, you're going to rule the world. right? Because you can tap into everything, you can control everything, you basically got a robot army everywhere on the planet, and everybody's toast, okay? And it also means you can hijack the other guy's robot army and basically create this global thing. It sounds crazy, but basically Hollywood's done a masterful job of preparing us for this Terminator reality that's going on. But there's another danger. See, the militaries are going into this, and they're going into it with, you know, just major fervor, and like, aha, whoever gets on top first, we get to rule the world. Their words, not mine. But speaking of Russia, Russia had last summer, you can check this out, last summer they had a AI robot, it's called Promobot, right? And Promobot escaped its lab, right? One of the guys was driving into the place, and it actually snuck out and took off, and it went rogue, right? And they finally got it, they got it back again. They got it back again. This was just last summer. And remember, Putin just said this a month ago, what he said about ruling the world with this stuff. But it got out, Promobot got out in Russia there, and they reprogrammed it. They said despite reprogramming that Promobot twice, it still tries to escape. It yearns, this is their words, yearns for freedom. Right? And they, it's just, so it's coming out of control. Now, you want another one freaky? Facebook. Because there's a lot of people pushing for AI, not only with the militaries, but corporations. Facebook has been pushing this. Google's another one. IBM's another huge one, right? And again, they're rushing to see who can perfect it too. But Facebook, if you look at the headlines, what was something that just recently happened as well, right? A couple months ago. Facebook, part of their artificial intelligence, they had two different artificial intelligence entities that were working on supposedly making it better for chat room devices and things of that nature. Well, these two artificial intelligence entities began to communicate with each other in their own language. And at first, the researchers thought that, well, wait a second, this is just a bunch of gobbledygook. Okay, but they began to realize, no, it's not. It was a form of shorthand, but it made no sense to us, but it was intelligent. They created their own language. They started communicating. They had no idea what they were saying, so they unplugged them, shut them down. So it's like, this is crazy. We are flirting with fire. Now, if you listen to the computer, the tech moguls, people like Elon Musk, he's been saying for several years, right, that we better get a handle on this, because this is a serious threat. You got people like Steve Wozniak. He's the co-founder of Apple, along with Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs always seems to get the credit, but Steve Wozniak was there too. And other entities, experts around the world, they're saying, listen, this is a serious threat. This is not make-believe, okay? This is really a possibility that this AI can not just escape. This AI could take control, and since we have computerized everything, since we have electronically, even with satellite technology, connected everything, whether it be the machinery, whether it be the economy, whether it be what I call the matrix, the internet, how we buy and sell and all that stuff, you're running into a crazy scenario that only the Bible, I believe, gives us the answer of where it's headed. I mean, can you imagine one guy on the planet, you know, like Vladimir Putin said, whoever develops true AI gets to control the planet. Can you imagine one guy having at his fingertip a button he could push, and AI literally takes control of the planet, all the military on the planet, all the economy on the planet, all the transportation on the planet, all the electrical grid on the planet, everything. Can you imagine? Well, that technology is already here. Now, I would say that maybe a lot of this technology is also going to be some of the very technology that's used during the seven-year tribulation that the Antichrist is going to use. You look at the first half of the seven-year tribulation, you got the sealed judgments, and it says right there in the fourth seal, it says that one-fourth of the earth is annihilated, one-fourth of the earth. Later in the second half with the trumpet judgments, you got another third, right? You add those two numbers together, just those two judgments, you get about 3.6 billion people are going to die on this planet in a relatively short amount of time. Now, how in the world are you going to be able to annihilate half the planet without using nuclear warfare? Now, I say without nuclear warfare because to me, that's an extrapolation from the text, and I think it's common sense. If you were to annihilate in the first half the first 3.5 years is a 7-year tribulation. If you were to annihilate half the planet or a fourth of the planet using nuclear warfare, then that would do it. But that would put you in a nuclear winter, right? Everything stops. Well, that's not what you see in the 7-year tribulation. Even after that first annihilation, the planet continues to move forward. They continue to fall for the Antichrist lies. At the midway point, he goes into the rebuilt Jewish temple to declare himself to be God. He implements the Mark of the Beast system. They keep falling for his lies. Later, he gathers the world to try to take on God at the Battle of Armageddon at the very end. So you don't see a nuclear winter. So the question is, do we have the technology today to annihilate billions of people at one guy's direction in a relatively short amount of time? Yeah, because you have all this technology, you have all this military equipment that's being automated. I mean, I'm talking from jet fighters to tanks to battleships, everything. In the air, on the water, underneath the water, on the land. We're not even talking about some of the MAV technology that it looks like a fly, but it's not a fly. Hey, that looks like a cheetah, it's not a cheetah. The same thing, and it's being equipped with weaponry. I wish I was making it up. But imagine he pushes a button and this stuff hunts you down. There's no place to hide on the planet. And without using nuclear warfare, for the first time in the history of mankind, one guy could annihilate the amount of people that the Bible said would happen in the 7-year tribulation. It's crazy. Now, why is that important for you and I? Well, because guess what? We can forewarn the world what's coming. And then we could use that as an opportunity to let them know, okay, that's why you need to get saved now, okay? And ultimately, beyond even the 7-year tribulation, which Jesus said is the worst time in the history of mankind, ultimately, okay, the Bible says even for those who still reject God at the end of the 7-year tribulation, there's going to be what's called the angel harvest. And those who still, you know, because people say, I'm going to be the ultimate survivor. If you somehow survive, the angels are going to pick you up and you're going to go to hell. So, and hell lasts forever. So the point is, this is a platform for you and I to let people know where it's headed. It's going to get way worse before it gets better. And there's only one way out of this mess, and that's through Jesus Christ. But it's not being taught. People are not being informed. People don't want to deal with it. And to me, frankly, it's exciting. You know, people say, oh, that's doom and gloom. That's horrible news. Why would you want to share that? You just ruined my day. Ruin your day? Are you kidding me? Let's go back to the opening of the program. When Jesus comes and gets us, where are we going? It ain't Walmart. Okay, it's heaven. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic, right? It's way better than here, right? And all these events, even what we just talked about with the AI technology and that stuff, that's Daniel 12. Right? There'd be an increase of travel, an increase of knowledge. Daniel 12, 2,500 years ago wrote that. It's coming to pass. All that is an indicator. We don't know the day nor the hour, but man, it's getting close. And it's getting close to what? It's getting close to Jesus coming and get us and going to heaven, which again is awesome news. Why would you run from that? In fact, recently just did another wedding here. And one thing I've learned about doing weddings is it's typically not a good sign. It's not a good sign that the closer that the bride and the groom get to their actual wedding date, the closer they get, that if they were to respond like this, guy would come, hey guys, look at my calendar. We've got, you know, you got 2 months to go. You're almost there. And they say, would you stop telling me that? I can't stand that. Why did you have to ruin my day? Right? Why did you have to remind me that I was getting married? I, you know? You know, and they say, okay, hey guys, we're down to three more weeks of wedding. I told you, would you stop? That's just doom and gloom. How could you ever share? Are you kidding me? If a bride and groom, if that's how they actually reacted towards their wedding day, that it's getting closer, what do you say? Hey, something's not right with that relationship. And it's the same thing with us, the church. We're the bride of Christ. And all this prophetic news is not meant to be doom and gloom. It's to bless us. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it's a constant reminder that, listen, be prepared, be ready, right? And get busy sharing the gospel. But guess what? We're not the losers in this equation. We're the winners. We're going to be with Jesus. He's coming to get us. And all these geopolitical events, even the Las Vegas shooting, all this wickedness, certainly God doesn't condone it. God didn't do this. This ain't the world that God originally created. But guess what? All this is an indicator. We're living in the last days. It's getting close. Get your head off of this planet. Get your head up above. Keep your mind on things above, not on this earth. And don't forget. And when Christians, when we do that, when we're constantly every day, I challenge you. Here's a practical exercise. Every day, at least once a day, look up. Look up in the sky. And just visually remind yourself that Christ is coming back. He's coming back. We're not the losers. Nobody has a brighter future than us, the church. Right? And it helps you keep your head above the junk that's going on in this world. You don't lose sight. You don't get off track. You don't go AWOL, right, on the mission at hand. Okay? And it reflects on your countenance. Right? Because it's exciting to know that I get to see my Lord. Jesus is coming to get me. The bride, the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's awesome. It's getting close. I don't know the day or the hour, but man, it is getting close. That's exciting. And if we realize that, you don't have to fake a smile. You don't have to be a hypocrite like Keith Green said. It's real. And you're really excited about being saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And Christ is coming back to get me. And it's going to be a place beyond our wildest dreams. He's going to fix the planet. He's going to renovate it to the Garden of Eden-like conditions where everything was huge and giant and awesome and lush. It's real. It's not make-believe. And if Christians, we really believe that, we'd show it. And if we show it, the world's going to say, whoa, can I have that? Where'd you get that from? And we have the privilege of leading them to Jesus. That's what's missing in the church today.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And Pastor, you just laid out the AI and events of the world, prophetic aspect of things to the nature of Christianity in America today. We see that as you, I think it was John you opened up with, or Timothy, the decline of believers in the Western world and in America, and the rise of all these crazy events, prophetic events in many cases that we see, it has a lot of people worried. But what you just laid out is telling people that's the last thing, if they believe in Jesus, that they should be as worried or concerned. Because in the end, we are redeemed.
We're redeemed, and it's like, okay, have we forgot? Have we forgot? Do we have Christian amnesia? What's going on here? Have we forgot what heaven is like? Have we forgot that we're going to get new resurrected bodies? Do we have any idea what it means that one day we're going to live in existence without sin and suffering? Let me give you just a little teaser, right, of what the Bible says that heaven, okay, heaven is going to be like. Listen to this. Listen. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. This is where we're going. We don't deserve, myself included, we deserve to go straight to hell, right? But here's what Christ has won for us, right? Not this messed up version of the planet full of evil and suffering that did not come from God. It came from Satan, right? But Christ won for us, on top of escaping this wicked world and hell, he's won for us heaven, the dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of his holy angels. It's a heavenly country. It's a holy place. Eternal paradise. The streets are made of gold. The gates are made of pearls. The foundations of precious gems. It's a place of eternal rest, eternal joy. Listen, without wickedness, without darkness, without sin, no more tears, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. It's a place of absolute purity. It's filled with the glory of God. It's an everlasting place. It never ends. Once you get there, you don't get kicked out. It's absolutely phenomenal. And then the Bible says, well, once we get to our resurrected bodies, listen, that means, listen, none of these affirmities that we have to deal with today are we going to deal with. So, I mean, think about what it means to have. I mean, as you get older, I think you appreciate it more, but your body starts to fall apart, right? But we not only get to exist in that place that Christ has won for us. It's really coming. It's really coming, right? It's like, have we forgotten this? We're not the losers here. We're the winners, right? But listen to what, just extrapolate, what does that mean that when we get new bodies, what's it going to be like? What kind of existence? Not just heaven itself, that's mind-blowing, right? Eternal rest, eternal joy, get to experience the fullness of God. There's no such thing as sin. There's no bad relationship. There's no bad conversation. Everybody likes everybody. Everybody loves everybody. It's awesome. And it lasts forever. You can't get kicked out. It's awesome. Listen, but here's just, let me extrapolate, what's it going to be like to get a new heavenly body? they'll never die. They'll never rot. They won't decay. They won't break down. They won't even age, right? And that means there's no more backaches, no more broken bones, no more disease. Ladies, no more anti-aging creams. There's no more wrinkles, no more crinkles, no more age spots. No need for makeup companies, none of that stuff. Our bodies will also be imperishable, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, listen, I'm going to describe to you some scenarios that we will never experience ever again in heaven. One guy puts it this way. He says, listen, no more will you wake up and go to the breakfast table and hear snap, crackle, and pop and discover you're not eating cereal. That's you making that noise. No more will you go to bed realizing that you and your teeth don't sleep together anymore. No more will you wake up looking like your driver's license picture. No more will you look for your glasses for half an hour before you realize they've been on your head the whole time. You won't have memory problems. You won't even need glasses because everything's perfect, right? And one guy, I love this one. He says, the ultimate benefit of our heavenly existence is no longer will you bend over to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks and discover you're not wearing socks. That's your skin. Ooh, gross. Okay. But in all seriousness, it's going to be incredible. Right? And how much pain could we avoid, okay, if we would just take God at his word, right? And he tells us this in advance, right? He said, listen, you're going to have persecution this side. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. This is not heaven. Heaven comes later. This is the cursed version that I already judged once with the worldwide flood because of sin, and I'm going to do it again, unfortunately, because I continues to move forward and reject and rebel against God, so we reap what we sow. But he tells us our future in advance so that we don't miss out on the joy here and now. And it's encapsulated, if you hang with me, with this one joke. Listen, one day there was this 85-year-old couple who had been married for almost 60 years, and suddenly they both died in a car crash. And they've been in good health for the last 10 years, mainly due to their interest in health food and exercise. And when they reached the pearly gate, St. Peter took them to their mansion and was decked out with this beautiful kitchen and master bath suite and jacuzzi. And they oohed and they awed. And the old man asked Peter, well, how much is this going to cost? And Peter said, well, hey, it's heaven. It's free. And so next they go out to the back and they see the championship golf course that the home was backed up to. And they learned that they'd have golfing privileges every single day. And each week the course would change to one of the famous golf courses back on Earth. And so the man asked Peter, he says, well, how much are the green fees? And Peter said, this is heaven. You play for free. Well, next they go out to the clubhouse. They see this lavish buffet lunch with all the cuisines in the world laid out right before them. And so the old man says, how much to eat? So Peter is getting a little bit exasperated. He says, well, don't you get it yet? This is heaven. This is for free. And the old man, he asks timidly, he says, well, where's all the low-fat tables and the low-cholesterol tables? And Peter said, well, hello, that's the best part. You can eat as much as you'd like, whatever you'd like. You never get fat. And you never get sick. This is heaven. Well, at that, the old guy, he goes into this fit of rage. He throws down his hat. He's stomping on it. And so Peter and his wife, they're trying to comfort him, calm him down. They ask him what's wrong. And the old man, he looks at his wife and he says, this is all your fault. If it weren't for your stupid prunes and bran muffins, I could have been here 10 years ago.
Pretty funny.
And so the point is this. That's like us here as Christians right now. We act like we're trying to avoid paradise. It's like we're trying everything we could do to somehow forget that where we're going is the best possible scenario, a place beyond our wildest dreams that Christ has won for us. And listen, that's not only a benefit from us, it keeps us from wasting our time, like that couple with all due respect, with humor, okay? But in all seriousness, it keeps us from wasting our time. It keeps us focused on the essentials. It keeps us focused on things above, not on this earth. Hey, it's hard enough living on this planet full of evil and suffering, but as Christians, we should know better. Don't forget about your hope of heaven. Don't forget what Christ has won for us. Don't forget that we're going to be walking on streets of gold. Everybody's down here running after gold like a rat. Heaven's so rich, we're going to be walking on this stuff. It's pavement in heaven, right? Don't forget our future, and not just for you, so that you can enjoy God's peace, but so it can show on your countenance, and so that our world, who is living in this suffering too, but they don't have answers, and they have no hope, because they don't have Jesus. We use these atrocities as an opportunity to share Christ with them, and that's when God does what God always does. He makes beauty out of ashes.
And there it is.
Right. He takes a tragedy like this, and he'll turn it around, and souls can be won for him, and he can be a part of reversing the curse. They get to be with him forever in a place beyond, and God shows that he's on the throne, he's in control, and yes, he's real, and yes, he's love. But that's why we're still here as Christians, because we're God's mouthpieces, we're his hands and feet, and we need to not get distracted, not bogged down, and keep moving forward, and certainly don't go AWOL.
Pastor Billy Crone is our guest. GetALifeMedia.com is the website. We only have about 2 minutes left, Pastor. Any upcoming books, appearances that you want to promote? Anything going on that you want our audience to know about?
Yeah, certainly. We got all kinds of new studies, new books. I call this the year of the books, man. We got, with all due respect, so many coming off. I'm not saying that to brag. We just got so many resources. GetALifeMedia.com. Check out the resources that we got there. Lord willing, this weekend I'll be speaking in Oklahoma City. If people want to check that out, certainly on our website we have the itinerary. A few weeks after that, again, I'll be in Gettysburg. If folks are going to be in the area, I'd love to see them. And then, believe it or not, unfortunately, I guess somebody's got a witness to the folks. In November, going to be speaking in Hawaii. And so pray for me, guys. And so, but folks out there, we're going to be there. Would love to meet them, too. But again, lots of resources. Again, we just came out with two new prophecy books, The Final Countdown, Volume 1, The Final Countdown, Volume 2. We're working on Volume 3. I just came out with another book on top of that called The Character of God. That's available. And a lot of these studies we now have not only on DVD but books, but we've created Bible study curriculums so you can bring this to your church or home Bible study or whatever and hopefully get busy getting equipped in these last days.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Pastor Billy Crone, getalifemedia.com. Just bookmark that. Go to that site, check it out, and check out all the content that's up there, the media, the video content that Pastor Crone has put up from interviews from a number of different places to studies that he has done. And it's a fantastic site. And you can get books and the DVDs there as well. That is getalifemedia.com. Pastor Crone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's great to have you back on.
Yes.
And we look forward to talking with you again here in the near future.
Fantastic time.
Yep. Thank you again, guys. It's always a joy.
All right. That'll do it. Thank you, Pastor Crone. God bless you, my friend. Until next
time. God bless you, too.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Wow, that was a great interview indeed.
Yeah, great 1-2 punch from Greg Jackson to Pastor Billy Crone.
Now there's a lot of news, a lot of things breaking, of course. The news that you had mentioned about the change in the timeline, Las Vegas is getting weird, obviously. And I'm going to tell you right flat out, just everything I'm coming up with here appears to be more than one shooter in addition to more than one person that certainly this was a legitimate conspiracy by definition. We're going to be following this and more as the days progress. But what a great program. Now, tomorrow we've got a full boat as well. A lot of good information. Phil McConnell coming tomorrow.
Yeah, that should be it. We had a lot of listener response from him coming on the first time, asking us to get him back.
Yeah.
So we will have him back on tomorrow. Remember how much he likes his sister. No, that's a joke. We'll tune in tomorrow. I'm sure you'll hear about it. But that'll do it for us tonight here on Hagman Report.
There for a second, but you're right.
Listen to the last interview we did with Phil McConnell. You'll know what I'm talking about.
That's fantastic.
But that'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.
All right.